October the 17th, I believe, 1991, and I'm here with Sid and Verna Cotton at their home in Malvern. Now, I'm going to need a questionnaire back. Okay, now we're not going to go by that questionnaire strictly in order, Sid, so don't worry about it. Maybe if I explain a little bit, maybe I'll shut that tape recorder off and I can explain to you about the project. So that's sort of what I had in mind. So anyway, don't worry if some of these questions you don't think you're going to be able to answer, because they're more of a guide to me, and I just show them to you so you can have an idea of what I'm looking for. Okay, would you give me your name, please, Sid, your full name?
Sidney William Cotton.
Okay, and your current address? Your current address?
3292 Trim Road, ma'am.
Okay. Date of birth, or the range of your age, for instance, you're over 75, okay?
Yep. Okay. Well, date of birth is July 15th. You want the date? 1907.
1907, you're not shy.
Well, right, no, I don't mind.
Well, you get to be over a certain age, and I guess it's an accomplishment that you've lived that long.
Well, it's getting to be that way.
Yeah. You know, you feel like when there's little kids and people ask, now, how old are you? Do you find they're doing that to you now?
No, that's the kind of none of their business.
That's right. Well, that's why I have age range, if
yeah.
You'd rather not.
Well, I'm not afraid of more 75, you like to put it.
Yeah. What would you consider to be your family's ethnic origin? I know they're Canadian, but...
No, one of them would be Irish.
Irish? Okay. Mm-hmm. And Berta's gone to check, has she? And Verna's Irish descent too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would you?
Now what? Come on.
I'm just checking the cotton history.
Okay, you do that. What would you consider to be your family's religious affiliation? I know the Protestant. Would they be Anglican?
Well, yeah.
Anglican. Have you lived in Cumberland Township all of your life?
I have.
And for how many generations has your family lived in Cumberland Township? A guess is 20.
Hmm?
Okay. James Cotton Sr. was born in County Carlow, Ireland. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's four generations then. Okay. And Mary Darris, his wife?
Yeah.
She was born, came from the north of Ireland too. Okay, so you're definitely Irish descent.
Oh yes.
I was going to ask you to describe an Irish funeral for me, but I think I'm going to put that off for a minute. Can you tell me about the first funeral you ever attended?
No, I don't really remember when I was first funeral. I couldn't tell you.
Okay. Tell me the one you can remember, any one that you can remember then.
Well, I remember one that was a pallbearer.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't very old either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we went down, well, we all had to go down to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the ring brought us to the church, and then we had to carry the coffin into the church.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it back and put it on the hearse and take it down to the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul barefoot went, followed it down.
Okay. Was the person who had died a relative of yours?
No, just a friend.
A friend of yours or a friend of the family?
No, a friend of mine.
Oh, really?
Around my age.
Oh, really? So that must have been very difficult.
So it wasn't too, we weren't too old, remember that. Mm-hmm. You must. Herbie Dagg.
Mm-hmm. So he would have been a chum of yours?
Well, yes, he went to school with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Any idea how old you would have been?
Oh. Well, I may have been 14, probably 14, not too old.
Okay. Can you remember anything special about that funeral? Like, that was the first one, so it's going to stay in your memory more than later ones would have. Do you remember any particular details about that funeral other than...
No, I really can't say I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned a hearse. So there was a hearse that took the body to the cemetery?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you carried, you were one of the pallbearers that carried the body into the church.
Into the church. And
okay.
Went to the graveyard,
mm-hmm.
and took the body and put it in the rough box.
Mm-hmm. And that was St. Mary's?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the funeral was here in the village. Was the funeral handed by a funeral parlor? Was there an undertaker?
I guess that. Well, I don't know about the undertaker, but I imagine that the coffin is out of Tanner's.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I really, he must have been an undertaker. One of them. I mean, he was definitely the man that...
But it would have, you know, as far as you're aware, there was a coffin, so do you remember if he was laid out at home, or was he...
Oh, no, yes, he was at home.
He was laid out at home. Okay.
Yeah.
And was the body in a coffin at home as well?
Well, yes, it was
okay.
In a coffin.
Okay, it just now, instead of just thinking about that specific funeral, if you sort of cast your mind back about other funerals, in general, was it the practice to lay the person out at home?
Yes.
In
yes,
the
it was
years?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the only practice, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Any place they ever went to.
They laid out at home.
And that went on till, well, not when Dad at 41?
Your dad?
He died the first fair, 47.
46. August 46.
Right. He died in fair, not the first fair.
Mm-hmm.
And they bought, as far as I can see, that somebody brought him to the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they called the house complete fair, and they came and got him. But they brought him back to the house. He was in the coffin in the house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's the last one that I remember here, like...
being in the house.
Being in the house.
Now, was...
You met Dad before that, yeah.
No. My grandmother died in 1942.
Mm-hmm.
And she was waiting at home. And I can't tell you who the other. I wasn't very old.
No, I know. But your dad was waked at home.
My father was waked at home. He died in, I think it was 1964 or 65. And he was waked. Because
mm-hmm.
I was talking to Harold Tanner about this today, and I said, were you the undertaker at that time? And he said, no, I had quit by then.
Yeah.
So we thought, well, maybe it was Warner from Russell.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd have to check that out with my brother and I'd be talking to him.
No, it's not critical. I'm just...
Just been through the same ceremony, the pallbearers, and they were...
But I remember that, when my father he was in Winchester Hospital. I remember that, he was with me.
Yeah.
And we found it was an ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the worst time of the year. It was in February, and it was icy.
Oh,
the yard was terrible, and people would come. Like, there was no set hours then for wakes and homes.
Mm-hmm.
You could come in the morning, or you could come any time you drop in. You know, we'd make a cup of tea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you might be people still there at midnight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I remember when my mother died, we said, well, it's not going to be at home. It's going to be, because she died in 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly takes an awful load off of our family today.
Yeah.
Certain time to be.
And that was a similar type experience that you had also with the deaths in your family, that people came to the house?
No, just the one, as far as I know, just my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Because my mother, it was her, she was awake in the...
No, but she means people came during the day.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I understand. Oh, yeah.
No, if the person who had died was waked at home...
They come any time.
They come any time, and the neighbors and friends and relatives would come
mm-hmm.
and visit and sort of offer their consolation. Yeah, let me see here. I'm going to skip back here for a minute.
So he always sort of ended up putting on the tea kettle. So it was always maybe 12 or 1 o'clock before he get to bed.
Yeah. When individuals were waked at home, was the body kept in any particular room the house?
Generally.
Mm-hmm. Which room? Is there a specific room?
Well, I'd say the parlor.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's fine.
Well,
parlor. That's
well,
yeah.
I don't know one from another, but
yeah.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't stuck away in one corner, I mean, it
no.
Putting it, and everybody was in that room.
Yeah.
To move again.
And I remember at home, we had this room, like it was really the front of the house, but it was a room that maybe wasn't used that much. Mm-hmm. But I remember my grandfather and my grandmother and my father being waked in the very same spot in the same room.
Mm-hmm. And their bodies were put in a coffin.
Oh, yes.
Was the coffin closed?
No.
It was open.
No, never, as far as I'm concerned, that every coffin is always open until just lately.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so something recent. Yeah. Okay.
And in some circumstances, I thought at first it was awful.
Yeah.
But now I can understand why
some
are closed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess it's whatever you get used to. I was raised in a society where coffins were always closed, and it seemed awful to me to have an open coffin. Yeah. So it's just whatever you
Well, yeah,
up
just
with.
However you're
yeah.
brought up, I guess,
yeah.
No particular reason, or...
No.
Well, now, when people don't want it'll be looking at them.
Yeah, yeah. Was there any particular costume, or not costume, any particular clothing that was used for the corpse? Do you recall?
Well, I think they're all pretty well dressed up.
Okay, in their own clothes and sort of in their best clothes? Or
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What about the mourners? Was there anything specific that the mourners would have worn?
No, I don't think you can not...
Well,
I know, some of them were real, yeah, but...
Well, I'll just give you my experience. I went through it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And my first husband died. That was 1955,
mm-hmm.
and I remember wearing black,
mm-hmm.
and the custom was you were to wear black for 6 months.
Mm-hmm. So you wore morning clothes, and,
I remember that. Or dark clothes, it could be black and white, but you would mm-hmm. never say could wear red or
bright colors.
Bright colors, but it was black, and it was for 6 months. I mean, that custom has gone down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I remember that very,
okay.
very well.
Getting back to the first funeral, you can't remember, I was working at my uncle's that time, in the summertime, and he said, told me that my dad wanted me to be a pallbearer.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, no, I think he got some of my clothes taken down there, and I dressed there, and they took me there, and I went back after the... But I was working there, and they took time mm-hmm. off to take me to
the funeral. Was there any kind of special food that was served at a, like you had the funeral where you were saying where you put tea on and coffee on, and I know that the neighbors usually brought in food as well. Was there anything specific that sort of went with a funeral that you were served particularly, or?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Or even at the wake, after the funeral?
Probably it was like food that we brought in, maybe squares or cake or,
mm-hmm.
I don't remember whether there were sandwiches made, it could have been.
You
mm-hmm.
see, it wasn't until recently either that they had dinner, lunch in the
in the hall
after.
Mm-hmm.
Some people went to the house, but I mean not too many. You know what I mean? Now they invite everybody to go to
the hall.
Yeah.
Well, here now we have, I think, is it the church women that put on something?
Yeah. We sort of started that,
yeah.
maybe so-and-so, and And we did it more as a courtesy.
Courtesy, yeah.
I mean, we didn't expect to get paid for it. We did it to maybe just help the family out. We'd go. I remember when I was the president of ACW and going and saying, would you like us to have lunch ready after the hall? Mm-hmm. Oh, it was just fantastic.
Well, I know
a big load off there.
Well, I know for me, the first time I'd ever gone back after a funeral like that was after Brenda's, and I couldn't get over the difference that it made, you know. It was such a more positive feeling. It made, you know, you felt sort of uplifted a bit, you know. And I felt it was a lovely idea, you know, and I think the ACW was really to be commended for that.
And I think way back, maybe in my grandmother's day, my father's day, once the funeral was, the service was over and the burial was done, that the family came home.
Mm-hmm.
And you were there all by yourself.
Yeah.
Whereas this way, it was
a hall and you...
Yeah, you've got some company.
Company.
Yeah.
You sort of got so many of them here said, oh, I'm just dying for a nice hot cup of tea.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
This would be about the first thing, particularly if it was a cold time of year.
Yeah, a little bit of solace with the food.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's sort of this idea, and what you're saying, Verna, is that's something that's fairly new in your experience, that there was sort of the idea of a get-together or a bit of a celebration afterwards. Okay.
Well, they call it a celebration, really, the minister would get up and announce it would be celebrating or something after,
yeah,
and everybody in the way.
Yeah.
Just like the time Lloyd Morrison died, really, and Russell.
Yeah.
And Gene invited everybody to go back there.
To the house?
To the house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the other way, isn't it? When you can go to the hall, it's a lot better than crowding into the house.
Yeah, yeah. But you don't remember that necessarily from your younger days, that people did go back to the house afterwards, or not?
Well, I just think it's friends, because maybe not particularly.
Not on that scale, for instance.
But not, no.
Yeah.
Family and maybe close relatives.
Okay.
Maybe close relatives. But then you had a horse and buggy, and you had to get home to chores, you couldn't just jump in the car. And
yeah, that's true. Okay. You must have attended a number of funerals in the area for people outside of your own family. Did you notice anything different about these funerals that might have had anything to do with if the individual was French-Canadian, for instance, or Irish, or English, or Scottish?
No, really, I don't think so. Anglicans, they have a service, and each people, a person has their own service, really. That's about the only...
Well, the Catholic wake is maybe a bit different. They always have, like,
a
kneeling board in front of the coffin.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas the Protestants don't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well,
so
then, if you go to, a Catholic funeral, like within the house,
yeah,
and you don't know what time of the night somebody's going to get up and have prayers. Mm-hmm. They don't announce that somebody gets up and starts, and you got to be quiet. I remember one time we were over at Mr. McDonald's, and that is, Alton's father. We went across there, and Jim Shaw, and I was at Jim Shaw's that time, and and Mr. Kenny was there, and he was a good dog one too, and he was talking, and somebody, and everything was quiet, and he didn't stop, but they were having prayers in the other room.
So there wasn't as much of a difference whether you were Irish or French, as much as there was a difference if you were Catholic or if you were Protestant.
A little bit, yeah.
Is that what you'd say?
That's still, you go to a Catholic wake, and you don't know whether sometime they're going to start writing a bunch of people there, they don't know what to do in the funeral parlor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
somebody said, what do you do? Well, just think we'd be quiet or sit down.
Yeah. In your family, I know in the Catholic tradition, in some families, it was quite common to have a vigil almost, where somebody would stay up with the corpse all night. you know, that there was always somebody with the corpse saying prayers or just being there with the family. They almost took shifts to make sure that there was somebody with the corpse around the clock. Was that an experience that you
I don't know. I didn't say anything about that. I never experienced that.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. So, can you talk a little bit about, in the earlier funerals that you can remember, the funeral home sort of gathered importance as being part of a funeral over time. Would you say that's a fair statement? You know, do you remember the funeral home always being having a part in the very earliest time?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Ben? Do you remember the very first funerals that you remember in which the funeral home was involved?
Well, the first one that I was talking about, as soon as the funeral was over, we got in a buggy and went home to my uncle's.
But what I'm thinking of, you know, for instance, was there an undertaker that came and was it standard practice to like now, if somebody dies, almost the first thing you do is contact the funeral home?
Yeah.
I know talking to Harold this afternoon there, he saw the role of the funeral director changing over time. You know, that where it became more and more commonplace for people to go to the funeral director.
Mm-hmm.
So is that sort of a common experience that, or is what you recall as well?
Well, I think so. First you had to get first thing you do is get an undertaker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So and then now those days, I guess, he lived in Bars. He must have brought the... Well, you just called for a coffin, whether you know over there, I don't know, not with a horse and buggy, I don't imagine. You called for a coffin, and he must have brought the coffin, left it up off the cemetery,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to bring the hearse. And
but like this day and age, you go and pick out.
What do you want?
But back then...
Well, there was only certain ones, but he couldn't afford the coffin there.
Yeah, yeah. So do you remember ever hearing of anybody who, or was it an experience in your family where somebody was laid out by anybody other than an undertaker, like somebody in the village would come when someone died and laid the person out?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember.
Okay, so it was always the undertaker?
The undertaker, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about things such as I'm just writing some stuff down here. Okay. What about things such as gravestones? Was everybody in your family, was their place of burial marked with a stone, with some kind of memorial?
Most, I'd say, from everybody was. I don't say everybody, there may be a few that's not.
Well, there might be two or three people on one stone.
Oh,
too.
Sometimes there's more than...
Yeah.
And most, like down here, there's eight graves in the plot.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was a common occurrence in your family to have gravestones.
Yeah.
What about the grave plots? Obviously then there was a family plot, was there?
Well, generally, yeah.
Okay.
If you all depend on the size of your family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about, did your family, or are you aware of any times when any member of the family was buried on the farm as opposed to in the cemetery?
No.
Anybody in the community that you knew of?
Not that I know of. Not that I know of.
And so as far as you're aware, it was mostly in a regular cemetery?
Yeah, everybody was in
the cemetery.
Yeah.
So there's no Coburn family plot in the area on the farm?
because it's accounted for. Maybe some of them don't get on the stones.
But I know one, of one, there's a family, the Collins is up in Manatee there.
Yeah.
They had a family plot somewhere, I don't know where.
Well, see, there's also a Dunning family plot in Cumberland Village, and McMillan's and Cameron's have a family plot down by the golf course there, too.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't seem to be very common in the Navin area, which is interesting.
No, I don't remember.
Funny
thing, I never heard of anything that well, or lead to the Collins.
Yeah.
They were Manatee, and they were plot up. Highway someplace.
Is that near where Walter has that park? Is it near the park?
No, I think it's over up the near Carriage or something. Well, not that far, but I know.
What about flowers at a funeral? Can you remember, were flowers always a part of the funeral too?
I think so. I wouldn't say that, but now I don't remember.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Best of your knowledge.
I remember my grandmother, she died, and I remember her saying, when I'm gone, I do not want any flowers.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when the body was brought back to the house, my parents saying, we just have to have
flowers.
Something. And I remember them going and buying
one sort of arrangement from
Omicron.
Yeah, actually, only one.
Because
that was
one of her wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nothing set worse than going into a funeral, a parlor, and seeing one bouquet of flowers or something on there.
Mm-hmm. What, you like to see lots of flowers?
Well, I don't say lots, but
you'd like to
see more than this one.
Yeah, there's nothing more.
Sad.
Yeah.
Depressing would
yeah.
be the word.
Yeah.
You know,
and
I don't know.
Again, that's sort of what you get used to.
Yeah.
You know, sort of custom.
Mm-hmm.
I remember.
Because my grandmother said exactly the same thing. She said, I want flowers when I'm alive. Don't give them to me when I'm dead. Yeah. Yeah.
And you often, like today, if you go to a funeral home, and it's in so many cases it depends on how well the person is known or
mm-hmm.
how
mm-hmm.
in the community or maybe family wise depends on the amount of flowers that would be there.
Yeah,
you know, like
so it's sort of an indication
of
how well they
yes,
know
their
yeah,
status
it's in a way,
yes.
But
yeah.
right now or lately place of flowers they're too expensive.
Yeah.
Now, an organization, they're starting out. They're going to give donations to charities.
Yeah. Instead, yeah. I think I gotta turn this tape over. It must be just about finished. Oh, it is too. It's not quite finished. Almost. Okay. What about such lovely things as embalming and cremation? Was embalming something that was done as far as you were aware?
I think so.
It was pretty well standardly done. What about cremation?
Well, there's not too many around.
Yeah.
Not a way back.
But
no, not
cremation.
Something
just
fairly recent.
Yeah.
Would you say the last 10 years?
Oh, yes. Maybe longer.
Since the war, definitely.
Well, yes, since the war. And there's a lot now, too, you know, like, that relate to body's desires.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
That's getting a practice now.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I know of one man that was, he used to be an Avon person, and his parents were lived in Avon, and he died in a few years ago, and he lived in Cornwall, but he was cremated,
mm-hmm.
and his ashes were brought to
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
But I don't think there has been a lot of
cremations
as far as Navan has been concerned.
No, I heard not too long ago, somebody said, suppose you went to the States and you died for a visit or something, you're better to be cremated there and your ashes brought back than it cost a fortune for you to get your body back to the canal.
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know much about the cost involved. But I can understand that being the case.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's pretty severe. I don't know. I didn't.
Mm-hmm. So, so funerals have changed over the years as time has passed. Can you think of one or two things that sort of stand out in your mind as things that changed the most from the earliest funerals you remember to sort of what's more common now?
There's not too much difference between in the funerals.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the Anglican church, the church service, reading that book, and there's
mm-hmm.
not too many variants.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, maybe there's as much respect on the day of the funeral as far as used to be everything would stop for a funeral, or you know, you went through the red lights and you was coming out of the city, you just had the right of way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now you have to stop, and people cut in, and it's not, people haven't got the same, of course there's more people and more cars and everything on the road.
Everybody in a hurry.
Yeah. But that's what we were saying earlier, you know, sort of people interrupting the procession and that sort of thing. That's something, was it common? You talked about this young Dag fellow's funeral and that there was a procession. Was the procession, where was the procession? From the church to the cemetery?
Oh, right from the house. They got quite a few rigs down at the house.
Okay.
Start right from the house and come to the church.
Yeah.
Back down to the cemetery.
And they were all, they sort of, people weren't on foot necessarily.
Oh, no, horse and buggy.
Okay.
And then they.
Okay. What about bells? Now, this is something I haven't necessarily noticed. And I know in England, years ago, there was a tradition of tolling bells at the time of the funeral, church bell rang. Is that the case?
Used to be here.
No, it seems to die down.
Yeah.
I don't know about if I remember too many other places, but down here they used to toll the bell every time.
Just a sort of a requisite number, or in England they used to toll one bell for every year of a person's life.
It used to be, I think it was around that.
Yeah.
It used to be, I remember here that the bell was always tolled. I don't know if the funeral was coming in, or?
Yeah, they always just put it up. If it was coming from Ottawa, somebody'd say, well, they're coming now.
Oh, they'd ring the bell as they were coming in?
Yeah, just because
they're. But they don't do it now.
No, they sure
don't. They
don't do it now. Yeah, that's one practice that seems to draw out the books.
Yeah, yeah. So, can you think of anything else related to this topic that you think might be interesting for our project? Any others? Things you can think about funerals that you've always wondered, or you've always...
Well, like when, a few years ago, when they had the hearse, and of course, get Tanner's hearse. Well, they always, the man here in the town, he's a team of black horses. And they were the ones that brought the hearse to Nathan. They were the ones that put near the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
attend at a funeral at Big Garden's team, and he was dressed up and rode the horses.
Mm-hmm.
Come to the funeral and there, and then drive back home again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And not getting commercialized. Not a few years ago, somebody died. There was a bunch go to the cemetery, and they helped dig the grave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just get the backhoe in there and dig it.
Mm-hmm. Somebody else does that.
Well, a caretaker.
Yeah. So there's sort of less personal involvement in it.
Oh yeah.
And another thing that I think that has gone down through the years too, as you mentioned a while ago, when there was a funeral, there was always pallbearers.
Mm-hmm.
But now, in so many cases, like a lot of people today, that will say the body's at House of Mayfair, and they have a service in the chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the man that works there, the casket's brought in, brought into the, put into the hearse and brought down to the cemetery. So there's really no need for pallbearers.
Well,
about the only time maybe they use pallbearers today is if the body is coming from the funeral home to the church.
And they need to have someone carry it up the steps.
Yes, they would have three men at either side carrying it in. They always proceed if they casket up the aisle. And
I don't know who was funeral there in Avon. And my dad was just three. And this woman had to get up and help carry the coffin in the grave.
Pallbearers at more funerals.
I know. Roger, too. Yeah.
So that is one thing I noticed has changed today.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly now, if it's maybe a well-known family in the community, and like when Harold Shaw died, for instance, I mean, he lived at Osgood, and they brought him back to Navan,
mm-hmm.
and the service was in the church.
And his father was in
the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I noticed my great aunt just died a couple of weeks ago, and it's in Calgary, and we just got my cousin sent a little notice. And there was a list of honorary pallbearers. No pallbearers, but honorary pallbearers.
There was an honorary pallbearer once.
Yeah.
Which was that? You remember that?
I remember that.
This was an Ayrshire, one of his Ayrshire friends
that
lived at Russell, and he and Ken Campbell were good friends, and when Ken died, remember we went over to the funeral home, and that would be the one out on the Medcalf Highway.
Uh-huh.
Duncan's.
It's Duncan's now, but it wasn't Duncan's.
At the first, I forget who had.
But we didn't intend going to the funeral because it was in the winter time. And I don't know if it was the morning of the funeral or the night before, Ken's wife called and she said, would like to have service and honor.
Mm-hmm. I bought it with a call from Duncan's call.
Yes, it was. Sorry, you're right. It was Duncan's funeral call.
They'd been asked to ask me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't particularly want to drive because the weather was bad that day, but Jamie was going.
Mm-hmm.
But they had, I guess, maybe six honorary pallbearers placed in a certain position.
He didn't do anything, he just went in and didn't recognize.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a recognition of somebody who's led the
somebody that they got.
Yeah. You know, he was pretty pleased.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you find that if people go to the funeral home sort of for visitation time, they don't necessarily feel they have to go to the funeral as well? Because this is something that you're sort of alluding to there. Is that a common experience too? People tend to go one or the other, but not necessarily both unless it's someone quite close.
It depends on how well you know the person.
Yeah,
yeah, I think that's who the person is and how well he.
Yeah.
But you think most cases, I don't think so. I think the ones that awaken the most of the funeral too.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you refer to the wake, you're talking about the visiting time of the funeral.
In the funeral parlor, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of times, maybe on the day of the funeral, they were visiting. Maybe the funeral's at 2 o'clock, mm-hmm. and they were visiting hours, maybe for an hour before that. Well, if you hadn't been in the night before, you would try to get away and go as soon as you could today. You know? I know one thing when they used to come to the church here for funerals, whether you always tried to get a choir. I remember them calling around, "Sit, lunch in the choir." So they always tried to fill the choir, whether it was in the Anglican church or the United church.
Mm-hmm.
Always tried to make sure that there was a good choir for singing. Mm-hmm. But that is something that's
getting away from too,
if you happen to be there, and maybe you go up into the choir. But
Wonder when Mr. Stahl died. He was with his brother at the time, and she left work to come back to the funeral, so she could be in the choir after that.
I know one person that I heard that, well, we didn't ask Sid to be in the pall bearer because we wanted him in the choir. And that is one of my neighbors.
So you're in demand a lot. Okay. Well, what you've done today, what has just confirmed what I found, my thesis. I'm going to shut this off and I'll explain.
There are some places they want them to use cement boxes.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't fall in. Mm-hmm. So the grave won't fall in.
Yeah.
Well, I even heard some things that were just burying the coffin, put the coffin down, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the research I've done, the one thing that was kind of interesting in France, there was mentions to you, but in France, for instance, when you're buried or when someone is buried, you sign a lease for the property for 5 years. And if you don't renew that lease in 5 years, then the body is taken out, the coffin is taken out, and reinterred in a mass grave. And you literally only lease the space for 5 years. Because it's like England, because the land is so scarce, it's just too valuable. So this is during the cremation.
Well, I heard somebody in Cumberland, they put this coffin down, and the next day that fellow went down and dug it up and put it. I got a rough box to put it in the body of it.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned a rough box earlier on. What's the rough box?
Well, that's where, when you take the top from the cemetery,
yeah.
What they call a rough box, a wooden box. Mm-hmm. They put the coffin in, and then it's all sealed.
It would be put into the grave, eh?
Oh, I see. So the coffin sort of goes inside this,
yeah.
Like an outer shell?
Yeah. Now, some of us have this shell, like copper, I guess, or some
metal and different.
Metal that's covered in for the name.
Mm-hmm.
I know at one of our church meetings one time, like Sunday, this afternoon, this was a recommendation that Sam was trying to put forth, that all the outer boxes be cement.
Yeah.
Because with the wooden ones, you see them
in the field. Yeah. Well, I'm sure what he's concerned about is that the province is bringing through different cemetery legislation, and what people are concerned about is the liability.
Oh, yeah, they got to keep things up.
Yeah.
And then,
that's
of
right.
course, the discussion arose, too. Well, you know, not every family could afford to buy a cement outer box or whatever it was. Cost a lot more. But I guess in lots of cases it's mandatory, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great big balloon land in the barnyard here.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Well, just the other side of the barnyard.
Yeah, just the other side of the Jamie Smith silo.
You watched some community, didn't you?
Well,
down.
Kitchen floor, it was about 6:30 and the doorbell rang. We have a balloon landing right out there. And of course, I looked out this window And I saw a balloon. And I thought, well, that balloon isn't going to land. That's still a long piece off. The phone rang, and it was Vince. He says, Verna, there's a balloon up near your place. I thought it was going to hit my towers. And by this time, I looked out this window, and I saw this monstrosity. And of course, the basket was out of sight, you see.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I said to the man, you go to the barn, talk to the man out there. And of course, Jamie has had problems before with these darn balloons.
I've got the tape on, I'm going to listen to it.